नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 द क्रिएशन ऑफ द फोर्थ ऑर्डर चैप्टर 29 पार्ट 6 वर्सेस 34 थ्रू 45 नारद मुनिस पर्पोर्ट पार्ट 2। The great sage Narada Muni continued, O you who are free from all sinful activity, no one can counteract the effects of fruitive activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness. All such activity is due to ignorance. When we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. One can counteract a dream only by awakening. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. So unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be relieved of such dreams. And so, for the ultimate solution to all problems, we must awaken to our original Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we suffer because we see a tiger in a dream or a snake in a vision. But actually, there is neither the tiger nor the snake. Thus, we create some situation in a subtle form and suffer the consequences. These sufferings cannot be mitigated unless we are awakened from our dream. The real interest of the living entity is to get out of the nescience which causes one to endure repeated birth and death. The only remedy is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his bona fide representative. For unless one renders devotional service unto Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one cannot possibly become completely detached from this material world, nor can one possibly manifest real knowledge. O best of kings, one who is faithful, who is always hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always engaged in the culture of Krishna consciousness, and who is always engaged in hearing of the Lord's activities, very soon becomes eligible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And so, my dear King, in that place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then in that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities, such as hunger and thirst, he or she has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarine words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The most powerful Lord Brahma, father of all progenitors, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, and the other rulers of humankind, the four saintly first-class brahmacharis headed by Sanaka and Sanatana, the great sages Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, and Vasishtha, and my humble self are all stalwart brahmanas who can speak authoritatively on Vedic literature. And we are very powerful because of austerities, meditation, and education. Nonetheless, even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we always see, still we do not know perfectly about Him. And so, despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. There are two kinds of fruitive activity. We can place the burden on the head, or we can place it on the shoulder. Actually, keeping the burden in either place is the same. For the transferal, however, is taking place under the name of counteraction. In this connection, Prahlad Maharaj says that fools and rascals in this material world plan so gorgeously for bodily comfort without knowing that such arrangements, even if successful, are only illusion, maya. People are working hard day and night for the illusory happiness of the body. But this is not the way to achieve happiness. One has to get out of this material entanglement and return home back to Godhead. That is real happiness. The Vedas therefore enjoin, Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gama, do not remain in the darkness of this material world. Go to the light of the spiritual world. To counteract the distress of this material body, one has to take on another distressed condition. Both situations are only illusion, so there is no gain in taking on one trouble just to counteract another trouble. The conclusion is that one cannot be perpetually happy as long as one exists in this material world. So the only remedy is to get out of this material world altogether and return home back to Godhead. As stated in the Vedas, the living entity is always separate from the two kinds of material bodies, the subtle and the gross. All of our sufferings are due to these material bodies, and this is explained by Krishna in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshastu kaunteya chitoshna sukha dukhada agama payino nityas tangs titikshasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. For they arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed, my dear Arjuna. Thus, Lord Krishna informed Arjuna that all the distresses brought about by the body come and go, so one has to learn how to tolerate them. Material existence is the very cause of all of our sufferings, for we do not suffer once we are out of the material condition. The Vedas therefore enjoin that one should factually understand that he or she is not material, but is actually Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. This understanding cannot be fully realized unless one is engaged in Brahman activities, and that means devotional service, bhakti yoga. To get free from the material conditions, one has to take to Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. This is the way to become detached from the artificial material condition. The only remedy is to take to Krishna consciousness, constantly engaging in the devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is trying to be happy, and the process adopted to achieve that happiness is called self-interest. Unfortunately, the conditioned soul hovering within this material world does not know that his or her ultimate goal of self-interest is Vasudeva, as was stated by Prahlad Maharaj, "Na te vidu swartha gating hi Vishnum." The word Sanskriti means material existence, and it begins with the illusioned bodily conception of life. And on the basis of this conception, there ensues a series of unwanted things known as anarthas. These unwanted things are actually mental desires for various types of sense gratification. And in this way, one accepts different types of bodies within this material world. One first has to control the mind so that the desires of the mind can be purified. This process is described in the Narada Pancharatra as Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. Unless one purifies his or her mind, there is no question of getting free from the material condition. As stated by Sutta Goswami in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Arnartho Pashamang Sakshad Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvansh Chakre Satvata Sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are actually superfluous or purposeless to one, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of bhakti yoga, devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. Anarthas, or unwanted things, come down from one bodily life to another. To get out of this entanglement, one has to take to the devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The word guru is significant. The word guru may be translated as heavy or the supreme. In other words, the guru is the spiritual master. Srila Rishabhadeva advised his sons, Gurur nasasyat na mochayed ya samupeta mrityum. One should not take up the post of spiritual master unless one is able to lead his or her disciple from the cycle of birth and death. Material existence is actually a chain of action and reaction brought about by different types of fruitive activities. This is the cause of repeated birth and death. But one can stop this process only by engaging oneself in the service of Vasudeva, Krishna. The word bhakti refers to those activities performed in the service of Lord Vasudeva. Because Lord Vasudeva is the supreme, one should engage oneself in Vasudeva's service and not in the service of the demigods. Devotional service begins from the neophyte stage, the stage of observing rules and regulations, and extends up to the point of spontaneous loving service to the Lord. The purpose of all stages is to satisfy Lord Vasudeva. When one is perfectly advanced in the devotional service of Vasudeva, one becomes completely detached from the service of one's body, that is, his or her designated position within material existence. And after becoming so detached, one becomes actually perfect in knowledge, engaging perfectly in the service of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnara Nityadasa. Every living entity is by constitutional position the eternal servant of Krishna. So, as soon as one engages in the service of Lord Vasudeva, he or she attains one's normal constitutional position. This position is called the liberated stage. In the words of Shukadeva Goswami in Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Muktir Hitvan Yata Rupang Swarupena Vyavasthati. In the liberated stage, one is situated in his or her original Krishna conscious position. He or she then gives up all other engagements in the service of matter, engagements concocted under the names of social service, national service, community service, dog service, automobile service, and so many other services conducted under the illusion of I and mine. As explained by Sutta Goswami in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam cha yad ahoitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. Thus, one must engage in the service of Vasudeva without material desire, mental speculation, or fruitive activity. Constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of Vasudeva means constantly hearing the glories of the Lord. The principles of Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishno, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam, are the only means by which perfection can be attained. Simply by hearing of the glories of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together, constantly engaging in the processes of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavana, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. And when one is engaged constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he or she certainly rises above the bodily conception of life. When one is in the bodily conception, he or she feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he or she transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavad Gunanukathana Sravana Vyagra Chetasaha, meaning always eager to find that place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant. Just like a businessman is always very eager to go to that place where business can be transacted. And similarly, the devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from the liberated devotees, he or she immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. And this is also confirmed in another verse, where Lord Kapila Dev instructs his mother Devahuti in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayanaha kataha tad joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani sradha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to both the ear and to the heart. And by cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. Thereafter, one is freed and one's attraction becomes fixed. Then, real devotion and devotional service actually begin. So, in the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. And as soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and attached to the Lord. And thus, one can very quickly attain full Krishna consciousness. Now, the secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Unless one is associated with devotees, he or she cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjana Bhajana, cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place is just not possible for the neophyte, for one will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that the devotees known as Sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness as indicated herein. Now, according to the foolish Darwinian theory of the anthropologists, it is said that 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens had not yet appeared on this planet because the process of evolution had not reached that point. However, the Vedic histories, such as the Puranas and the Mahabharata, relate human histories which extend millions and millions of years into the past. In the beginning of creation, there was a very intelligent personality, Lord Brahma, and from him emanated all the Manus and Brahmacharis like Sanaka and Sanatana, as well as Lord Shiva, the great sages, and Narada himself. All these personalities underwent great austerities and penances, and thus became authorities in Vedic knowledge. Perfect knowledge for human beings, as well as all living entities, is contained in the Vedas. All of the above-mentioned great personalities are not only powerful, being cognizant of past, present, and future, but are also devotees. Still, in spite of their great education in knowledge, and despite their meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, they cannot actually understand the perfection of the living entity's relationship with Lord Vishnu. This means that these personalities are still limited as far as their knowledge of the unlimited is concerned. And so the conclusion is that simply by advancing one's knowledge, one cannot be accepted as an expert in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can be understood not by advanced knowledge, but by pure devotional service, as confirmed by Krishna in chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvataha. Unless one takes to pure transcendental devotional service, he or she cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth. Everyone has their imperfect idea about the Lord. So-called scientists and philosophical speculators are also unable to understand the Supreme Lord by virtue of their knowledge. Knowledge is not perfect unless one comes to the platform of devotional service. This is confirmed by the Vedic version when Lord Brahma offered prayers after the incident of the Brahma Mohana Leela. Afapite deva
padam bhuja dvaya. Prasada leshanu grihita eva hi. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. Nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. The speculators, the jnanis, they go on speculating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. But unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand the supreme glories of Krishna. All the great sages mentioned herein have their own planets near Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma resides, along with the four great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara. These sages reside in different stars, known as the southern stars, which circle the pole star. The pole star, which is known as Dhruva Loka, is the pivot of this universe, and all planets move around this pole star. All the stars are planets, as far as we can see, within this one universe. But according to Western theory, all the stars are different suns. But according to Vedic information, there is only one sun within this universe. And all the so-called stars are but different planets. Besides this universe, there are many millions of other universes, and each of them contains similar innumerable stars and planets. As stated by Krishna in chapter 7 of the Gita, Kamaistaistaya hrtagyana prapadyante anyadevata tangtang niyamam aspaya prakritya niyata svaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods, following the particular rules and regulations of such worship, according to their own natures. Most people are interested in worshiping demigods to acquire powers. Each demigod has a particular power. For instance, the demigod Indra, the king of heaven, has the power to shower rain on the surface of the globe in order to give sufficient vegetation to the earth. This demigod is described in the Vedas, Vadrahasta Purandara. Indradeva rules the water supply with his thunderbolt in hand. The thunderbolt is itself controlled by Indra. And similarly, other demigods, such as Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, also have particular powers. All these demigods are worshipped in Vedic hymns through a symbolic weapon. And therefore it is said here, Mantra Lingaya Vyavach Chinnam. By such worship, karmis may obtain the benediction of material opulence in the form of animals, riches, beautiful wives, many followers, and so on. And by such material opulence, however, still one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Recorded December 21, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi
Namo Namaha. Radha Krishna Seva Pabo Eiravi Lahi. Radha Krishna Seva Pabo Eiravi Lahi. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Jeto Mar Sharana Loy Saravancha Purna Por Kripa Kori Porokare Vrindavana Vasi Kalasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Mora e Abhilasha Vilasa Kunje Diyovasa Nayane Evo Sada Yugala Rupa Rashi. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Te Nivedana Hara Shakira Anugata Koro Seva Adi Kara Diye Kora Nija Dasi. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Dina Krishna Dase Koi Eyena Moda Har Shri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Yena Asi. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Radha Krishna Seva Pavo E Abhilashi. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda 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 Jaya Jaya.